Off the Ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.
Now, you're welcome along. So the FAI made their long-awaited appearance before an Oireachtas committee this afternoon. In many ways, it proved to be a frustrating 7 hours. Between now and 8 o'clock, we're going to play you the key exchanges to give you a good sense of how things went. Champions League, of course, Manchester United against Barcelona. We'll preview the Masters as well. Andrew Cotter of the BBC will join us, as will Lawrence Donegan, who reckons this is Rory's year. And we'll have Keith Wood looking ahead to the weekend's rugby. 53106 is the text number. We're at Off the Ball on Twitter. You're very welcome. I'm joined in studio by Kieran Cunningham of the Irish Daily Star. Good evening.
Good evening.
You are technically on holiday, and yet you sat through this 7 hour Oireachtas committee.
Yeah, it's one of the days that should make you question your life choices, really, if that's what you're doing on your holiday. You're only day off since Christmas, really. So
you're not getting it back here, on.
No, but to be honest, I was genuinely interested as well. But it's strange, like, when you go into sports journalism, people always throw the same thing at you. Oh, you get into games for free and you do a lot of travel. But a lot of the time you end up in committee rooms in Ireland or, you know, watching these kind of hearings because there was a sense of deja vu. Like, there's been a lot of this with the FAI before. It's been there in the Olympic Council. It's been there with athletics governing bodies under various guises, with swimming.
Yeah.
With GA, with the rugby at different times. Like, it's you do see familiar themes. Like, there's a lot of hubris, there's a lot of arrogance, there's a sense of entitlement with some people.
Yeah.
And it's very, very hard to get straight answers. Mm. And even after today, I thought it wasn't, like, up to lunchtime, I thought this is a complete waste of time. But some stuff did come out of it that made it worthwhile, I thought, you know.
Yeah, there's no doubt the TDs and senators, some of them, I hasten to add, were on their game.
Yeah.
Whereas there were others, frankly, that ranged from incompetent to just embarrassing.
Yeah. And, like, it was very striking, like, that you, like, the ones, maybe the standout performer was Jonathan O'Brien, Sinn Féin TD from Cork, but he was very much involved in Cork City for years. So he knows the game and he knows the politics of it. And he knew the significance of the loan and what that loan could be related to, which a lot of other people didn't really get, or you know, there was a bit of grandstanding for some, but there was a few good contributors, and, you know, we're going to come to all that. But.
Yeah, so that is the plan. We're not going to have the news round as usual this evening. We're just going to take you through this Oireachtas committee. It started at 10 a.m. Now, look, I'm acutely conscious this might seem a bit excessive, and I appreciate lots of you will just want to hear pre-match stuff around Manchester United, Barcelona, and I'll give you the teams in a second, but this is actually really important, as I'm sure the vast majority of you appreciate. We are very conscious that we were able to watch the 7 hours and that most of you had better things, frankly, to be doing. So some of this will not be fireworks and jazz hands, and we appreciate that. But we're talking about taxpayers' money, both going to the FAI and actually, frankly, to some of the TDs and senators involved as well. And we think it's worth doing. So we're going to do that between now and 8 o'clock. And too often, I think, in public life, the first tactic is to muddy the waters and make things so confusing to just make it drawn out and complicated and put people off paying close attention. So we're going to try and give you a good summary of what happened today. This thing started at 10 a.m. Things kicked off with Donal Conway, president of the FAI, reading his opening remarks into the record. Now, you'll remember, we did see that statement on Monday. It was, I don't know, was it leaked or was it just deliberately sent around? But everybody had this on Monday. There was nothing new there. It's quite a long statement. Then it emerged that John Delaney, who was sitting to Donal Conway's left, had a prepared statement of his own. And this prompted an adjournment because John Delaney, unlike Donal Conway, the FAI president, had not submitted this evidence prior to the committee, which is very much the protocol. And this caused all sorts of consternation. And they had to go back into private session to read John Delaney's statement. And then eventually, and we're talking well over an hour after proceedings began, we did finally hear the opening prepared remarks from John Delaney.
On Tuesday the 25th of April 2017, we had an internal finance meeting at the FAI. This meeting was attended by our Director of Finance, Eamon Breen, our Financial Controller, Yvonne Song, and myself as CEO. I was advised at this meeting that if all cheques and FAI bank transfers issued to third parties at that time were presented for payment, that the FAI would exceed its overdraft limit of 1.5 million on its bank accounts, which were held with Bank of Ireland. At the meeting, I expressed concern and surprise as to how the FAI could have arrived at this position. I recall thinking at the time, if I'd been approached even a few days earlier, I may have been able to better address this issue. I asked if any funds were due to the FAI which could resolve the matter. I was informed that there was nothing due imminently that could be confirmed at that stage. As the matter was pressing, and we only had a few hours to resolve the potential issues that would arise if the bank overdraft limit was exceeded, as a precautionary measure and to assist the FAI, I wrote a cheque for €100,000 from my personal account to the FAI. This cheque was made payable to the FAI. I gave it to our Director of Finance, Eamon Breen, telling him to only lodge the cheque if it became clear that the bank overdraft was going to be exceeded. On Monday, the 4th of March 2019, I informed the Board of the FAI of the precautionary payment I had made following a media query received from the Sunday Times. On Saturday, the 16th of March 2019, I initiated court proceedings against the Sunday Times at my own cost in relation to this matter, because I believed at the time that this information had emanated from documentation which had been filed in the family courts. I accept that the overdraft limit issue arose on my watch as Chief Executive Officer. I wish that it had not happened, but I acted in the best interests of the Association. I regret the embarrassment that this entire issue has caused to them and the Association, but I did it in the best interests of football. On legal advice, I'm precluded from making any further comments at this hearing in relation to the finances of the Association or my former role as CEO or the £100,000 payment, either directly or indirectly. In the interests of fair procedures and natural justice, which I have made this statement to the committee and have attended this meeting voluntarily, as I've attended many Oireachtas committees in the past, I am not in a position to answer any such questions here at this time. Given that some members of this committee have made highly prejudicial public pronouncements about me personally prior to my attendance here today, and in light of the recent Supreme Court hearing, a ruling in the Cairns case, I would ask that the committee respects this position. I am, as most of you would know, passionate about football and have always been.
So they were John Delaney's opening remarks. We did wonder, would he refuse to comment on the loan and various issues for legal reasons? And he made it very clear in his opening remarks that that was his intention. Mm-hmm. So they were the opening statements. And then we moved to the questioning section. And first up was Catherine Murphy, TD. And her question was about the €100,000 loan. So you heard there, John Delaney said he asked Eamon Breen regarding the loan at the time about his obligation to disclose the loan and to report the loan and to make it public knowledge. So Murphy wanted to pick up on this. She wanted to know what was said when he asked Eamon Breen about his obligation. And as you'll hear, this is very early on. This is basically Murphy's first question. It became very apparent that John Delaney was absolutely serious when he said he would not be answering these types of questions.
Just to clear one thing up, Mr. Delaney, you said you recall asking the Director of Finance, did the FAA have any reporting or disclosure obligations arising out of the €100,000 payment? Can you recall the response to that?
I've made it clear in my statement, Deputy Murphy, that I can't add any further to that at this given stage, given the various investigations that are taking place.
So there you are, fairly clear terms, no questions being answered regarding the €100,000 loan. Just to emphasise this newly established dynamic, I want to skip on, we'll come back to Catherine Murphy in a moment, but I want to skip on 20 or 30 minutes. So at this point, we're in the midst of some financial chat and Robert Troy, the TD, wanted to ask a question to John Delaney about Bray Wanderers. So as you'll hear here, not only was John Delaney most certainly not answering questions relating to the €100,000 loan, it became apparent that any questions relating to his 14 years as CEO would not be answered.
Last year, Bray Wanderers, a historical club, nearly went to its knees. Why was there not a need to help them?
When Bray Wanderers presented...
No, that was Mr Delaney, actually.
Well, can I take this, please? When Bray Wanderers...
Well, I've actually...
In fairness, he's entitled to... Mr Delaney's open to other questions, so I think he should answer
Well, I think
question.
He said, Mr Chairman, that questions in relation to his former role as CEO, which that would come under, I think in his statement he said
he did not wish
to take those questions.
I'll just clarify that. Okay, no, I accept that. Sorry, apologies. I know he's happy to answer other questions into his present role. Excuse me. No, you're right. Mr Lennon, you don't have to answer that question.
That last voice there is Fergus O'Dowd, chair of the committee, who, by the way, will be in studio after 9 o'clock. And it was Donald Conway, the FAI president, speaking on John Delaney's behalf, saying he has said he's not answering those questions. So, Kieran Cunningham, when we're looking at today, that's one of the real headline pieces of news, that John Delaney effectively did not want to answer questions about the loan, but equally cited legal reasons precluding him from answering questions about his previous role, which happened to be 14, 15 years as CEO. That's a big headline from
today. Well, absolutely. Well, that was one of the main interests people had in this committee and what would happen today was John Delaney. Like, what would John Delaney have to say for himself? And he said very little because he had this screen in front of him and said, you know, nobody's allowed past. You know, I have this legal basis that you can't question me. But it was selective. There was a couple of questions he did ask, like around Genesis and the implementation of Genesis that did relate to his time as chief executive. And he seemed to be cherry-picking things that might have made him look a bit good from his time as CEO, in my opinion.
He certainly did answer a few other questions, but they did seem to be ones that were to his liking. And equally, he did say in his opening statement he'd answer anything relating to UEFA or FIFA business. But that was very much the tone. So Catherine Murphy tried initially to ask him about the loan. You heard just there that Robert Troy tried to ask him about something to do with Bray Wanderers when he was CEO. They were all off limits. So we'll go back to Catherine Murphy's opening salvo then. John Delaney, in his opening statement, said that the issue of the loan in 2017 did not arise at a board meeting the following week or two, as if this was beyond his control. But he said it simply didn't arise. And so what we learned today was that the FAI board, except for three members, knew nothing about the €100,000 loan until March of this year. So the meeting, this strikes a lot of people as extraordinary, including Catherine Murphy. And so here she is talking about this situation to the FAI president, Donal Conway.
Normally, what you would expect to see would be that something like that would be minuted, and those minutes then in turn would be given to the auditors at the end of the year, and then things are captured because that is the case. So that didn't happen.
We do get financial reporting, obviously, at every monthly
board
meeting.
Yeah, but this specific, the 100,000 didn't...
On the occasion of the 100,000, it wasn't discussed at the board. That's correct.
Right. And, I mean, in terms of governance, that would be, you know, you were in a very precarious situation. You'd exceeded your overdraft.
Potentially.
You potentially exceeded your overdraft and... you had to take these extraordinary measures. Yet something as extraordinary as that and the precarious nature of it, which puts you into trouble with Sports Ireland in terms of an obligation of you letting Sports Ireland know that your finances had significantly deteriorated. That is not something then that was it was felt that the board should know. But why didn't it happen on this occasion when you were in a position where you were likely to exceed your overdraft and have to take an extraordinary or a very unusual measure?
If I might say, and I do reference it in my statement, that our finances can be quite cyclical.
It was managed out of sight of the board.
It was managed in the way that it was managed, and it's not something we would like to see. It's not a process that we...
Like, how could Sport Ireland, for example, have confidence that, you know, public money that is provided, where there's terms and conditions associated with that, and it's part of the reason why they have suspended the payment. I mean, I'm absolutely astonished that this is the way that the FAI would have conducted their business at this particular point.
Yes, that was Catherine Murphy in one of the opening questions. It was managed the way it was managed,
yeah.
is the line from the FAI President Donald Conway, and she responded, it was managed out of sight. And that is new information that we had today, because we didn't know the circumstances. So the board, bar three members, knew nothing about this at the time.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until March of this year when the Sunday Times started looking into it with information that it was disclosed to... Yeah.
Including the treasurer, the FAI didn't know about it, which I think... Something like that would be a relevance to the Treasurer, Eddie Murray, who he had a few interventions that were interesting about just how the FAI operates, and you'd wonder who ultimately makes the calls there.
Yeah.
Like some people seem to have titles that don't have much significance.
Well, there is a point later on where the Honorary Treasurer is asked how many bank accounts the FAI has.
And he said, I think it's one, or something like that, but then it turns out it's 24.
Yeah.
You know, so...
There was a period of consultation, they had to go and check,
yeah.
and instead of the one... which the Honorary Treasurer thought it might be, turned out there were 24.
Yeah.
So that was Catherine Murphy. Next to Imelda Munster. Last week, you'll remember, she asked John Tracy four times if Sport Ireland had faith in the FAI board. This week, Imelda Munster, are the FAI giving everybody the two fingers?
It appears that you're giving, and I'm saying it appears that you're giving the two fingers to not just Sport Ireland, not just the Transport Committee, not just grassroots FAI, sporting clubs. I mean, you'd have to agree.
I would not agree with that, the last part of your statement, Deputy.
Do you think that given all of that that's come to light, that it was appropriate to create a new position for your former CEO? I'm asking you on the basis, do you actually think that that is good governance? In your opinion now, as the president of the FAI, do you think that is good governance? It sends out a good message. And do you think it was a decision, you know, a good decision by the board? I mean, and is that good governance? If it wasn't advertised, is that good governance?
As chairman of the board, Deputy, the image of the FAI, of course, is important. And harming that image is a matter of serious concern to us. Good governance is something we want to ensure that we have in the FAI. Now, in relation to the appointment was dictated by a series of projects, I referenced them earlier, a series of potential hosting of major international competitions. There's no other member of the FAI, for example, who would be a member of the Executive Committee of UEFA. There's no other member of the FAI who would, for example, be a chair and be a vice chair to key committees of UEFA. There's no other member of the FAI who would have a presence at FIFA. Contacts within UEFA, likewise with FIFA, was all going to be a benefit to trying to manage the series of projects that we assigned to that role.
Advertise, you might have discovered that there might have been somebody else out there.
Well, I know who were members of UEFA Exco. I know who were members of FIFA. I know who those persons are.
Mm.
And I'd like to think we had lots more people, Irish people, eligible out there.
So why not advertise?
Because we felt there was somebody who had the skill set that matched the role.
Right, says Imelda Munster. That's the voice again of the FAI president, Donald Conway.
Yeah, I think it's important to challenge something he said there, because it's a line you hear a lot from them, Joe, in that people who defend John Delaney point to his influence in UEFA and to the wider football family, as they keep referencing. And it's very similar to the language we used to hear around Pat Hickey and the Olympic Council, that because he was so prominent on the International Olympic Committee, that he was regarded, you kept being told that he's indispensable, we need Pat in there.
Yeah.
But since Pat has gone from the Olympic Council, now the Olympic Federation, Sarah Keane has come in, and five different people from the Irish Olympic Federation have gone on to International Olympic Committees. There are other people there.
Yeah.
There's nobody indispensable. Like, graveyards are full of people that were regarded as indispensable. But they bought into this aura around John Delaney and think everything will fall apart. We will be nothing without him, which is very dangerous.
No, it's true. So this exchange, we're still in the morning section here. We've two more clips from the morning. But on that point, so Imelda Munster is saying, well, you know, should you not advertise for the position? And Donal Conway is saying, well, John Delaney is the only one with these level of contacts and as a, you know, seat at UEFA and it's part of FIFA. It was something Ruth Coppinger wanted to pick up on straight away. She was excellent all day, yeah. Ruth Coppinger. So she talked about this executive vice president role. She talked about the fact it wasn't advertised. And then again, you'll hear Donal Conway talking up John Delaney's connections.
Can I just ask you, you've already said you didn't feel the necessity, the board didn't feel the necessity to have an interview for this new position because the perfect candidate already existed. Are you telling us today that despite all of the non-disclosure of the former CEO and others to the board, you wish to keep Mr. Delaney because of his connections with UEFA and FIFA? That seems to be what you just said earlier.
I wish to deploy whatever personnel we have to best effect.
So where, any other issues don't matter because of his connections with UEFA?
I would like to... What I want to do is to use the assets of the association to best effect. We have a number of key projects. Who are the key or the most important personnel to work over those projects? That informed the decisions around the Jonathan Hall report.
The former CEO said, I think on radio and stuff, that, or in an interview, that was because he was doing three jobs. He just wasn't able to do them, so a new position had to be created. Are you seriously telling us that that's the reason for this? Is it not a demotion of the former CEO?
What I'm seriously telling you is that I think, going forward, having a CEO that manages, looks after, leads our executive team, that looks after the domestic game and, of course, our international teams, and then a separate position, as lots of other member associations of UEFA have, a separate position of executive vice president, the board feels that that will serve the FEI better going forward.
That will be fine, except it just happens to coincide with public revelations about this loan.
The discussion about...
That's coincidental, is it?
...better arranging our senior executives has gone on for many months, Deputy.
Like, that's a key point, and we'll come back to it again. There's other interesting points, one from Noel Rock in particular. But Ruth Coppinger there is clearly saying it goes against any sense of credibility that it's just a coincidence you've created this new role around the time the Sunday Times had these revelations. It just does not ring true, and yet Donal Conway and the FAI delegation sat there and said that is the case.
Yeah, but no, absolutely. Like, if you... go through everything they were saying today, the FAI. They're more or less saying there's nothing to see here. There's no big fuss. Like, move along.
Yeah.
But you have to remember, Sport Ireland suspended funding yesterday. Sport Ireland oversees 73 national governing bodies in different sports, and it's only happened a couple of times in the history of both Sport Ireland and Irish Sports Council that this happened.
Yeah.
So it's very, very unusual. So something seems to be up. And the way, so it's very hard to buy into this thing that they're saying there's nothing, this was perfectly normal procedure. Like, you probably come to Noel Rock on the PDF thing, will you?
Yes.
Yeah, so I won't bring that up now, but we can reference that.
Yeah, but it's a point, and that relates to the Jonathan Hall Associates report. But it will tie in with Ruth Coppinger there saying, so this has nothing to do with all these revelations. It's just a coincidence.
Yeah.
Right, key point here. This is really, really key. I do appreciate some of this is probably a bit boring, and you've better things to do between 7 and 8 o'clock of a Champions League quarterfinal, but this is really interesting. The chair of the committee, Fergus O'Dowd, this is at the end of the morning session. He emphasised several times that the general public want change within the organisation. He said that to Donal Conway. And this is a key exchange. He suggested here, in a bid to restore public confidence, O'Dowd suggested a forensic audit of the FAI. And you'll hear Donal Conway's response. And O'Dowd had to suggest it several times. So just listen out here. A key exchange from the morning session. This is Fergus O'Dowd, the chair of the committee, putting something to Donal Conway, FAI president.
Would you do a forensic audit? Would that help build confidence of your organisation? An independent outside forensic audit, would that make a difference? And would you do it?
We're doing a very wide-ranging independent investigation when Mazars comes on board.
A forensic audit, is the question.
Between the Grant Thornton and the Mazars investigations, there will be very, very thorough examinations of the FAI.
I think there's a slight difference. A forensic audit, as I understand it, a particular type of audit? And I'll just ask you, and I'm not being rude, for the third time, would you do it?
We also have, as you know, engaged with the ODC. And again, that's evidence of the number of processes that we've put in place to undergo a thorough examination.
Okay, well, I think I have your answer there.
Yeah, I think you do. That deserves to hang for about 20 seconds of radio silence. Mm-hmm. So O'Dowd then made another point about the lack of transparency in the way the FAI does its business.
And I just want to say, if you start at a very basic unit of accountability, is it a fact that your organisation, at your AGM, that nobody can ask a question?
That's not true.
That's in your rule book, I believe.
That's not in our rule book.
Well, I've been told it is. That you must give prior notice of a question.
That's correct.
Yes, that's correct. Yeah. So you can't ask a question unless you say it beforehand. So if I go to your AGM and I want to say, hey, what about the 100,000? Well, you can't ask that question. If I ask about governance, I can't ask that question. So I'm just really getting at the point of accountability. And I also just want to mention, you mentioned rightly all the young people that play your sport, and rightly so, and it's fantastic. Tens of thousands of, hundreds of thousands of people love your sport every day, every week. Their families are dedicated, their kids just love it. We all know that. And we love to see them participating in it. But the question is, they now have no money. They now have no money coming in the next tranche because you have not satisfied Sport Ireland in relation to your governance. That's the truth of all this. So those children that you rightly enumerate and talk about are being deprived of the support that we want to give them as taxpayers. So my question is, what are you going to do about it? What changes, what governance changes are you going to bring about? We talk about 2021. Now, the reality is, who would have anything to do with an organisation that the state is refusing to fund on governance grounds? So the question is, you know, what changes are you going to bring about?
With respect, Chairman, the Sport Ireland has suspended funding.
Yeah.
And we will be, as we committed at last Friday's meeting with them, engaged with Sport Ireland. Sport Ireland will know the terms of reference of our independent review. Sport Ireland will have the findings and the full report of that independent review.
That was the end of his answer. So that's your morning session. And bleary-eyed, we went off for lunch for an hour and 15 minutes, and then we came back. Afternoon session, a bit more bite, I think. So Catherine Murphy had a conversation with the FAI Honorary Treasurer, Eddie Murray, who had said nothing until that point. She accused the board of being completely passive. He denied that. He then had to discover that the FAI, in fact, has 24 bank accounts. He thought it was closer to one. That was FAI Honorary Treasurer. And then, and I've deliberated over playing this or not, but it was a memorable part of the day. So we'll just get through it and then move on. Step forward, Michael Healy-Ray. Let me emphasise that Michael Healy-Ray is not even a member of the Oireachtas Committee, but he deemed it worthy of his time and therefore your time to sit in all day long and wait for his turn. So he sat through all that morning. It's the best use of his time and your time to make the following contribution. This is not the full contribution, but you'll get the gist.
I would have no doubt, Mr. Delaney, that if you would return back, maybe this whole issue should have been dealt with a different way. But I think I'd be quite confident in saying that the only thing that you could be accused of is being passionately committed to your job, passionately committed to the survival of, I'll call it the business, if you know what I mean by that, that all you were trying to do was do good. And, of course, there has to be proper governance, there has to be proper accountancy practices, but I really can't see for the life of me the three reports will come back in a positive way, which will allow for the funding to come in. You were questioned here today, your president was questioned about your suitability to be the executive vice president. I think that your work ethic back over the years will show that you were eminently qualified and most definitely the best qualified person for this new role that has been created for continuity, for dealing with FIFA, for dealing with UEFA. I know that certainly firsthand, and it would be very remiss of me, Chairman, not to mention this, because we're hearing a lot of other stuff today, but the stuff that I'd like to remember is what you have done up and down the length and breadth of this country for the association, from every club, from the grassroots up, locally, nationally and internationally. Your personal reputation is second to none, in my humble opinion. Okay, people can look.
Deputy has 1 minute left.
People can look at what has. Yes, maybe what I'm saying, Chairman, doesn't suit other people, but I'm going
No, I'm sorry, with, Deputy. With it's the rule. Sorry. Yes. Just
well, you're eating to your own time now, not mine.
No. I want to be very fair. Sorry. No. I think I want to try and.
I'm sorry. Of them.
We can't.
Did I question you? Did I question you?
I think
no, you're meant to be asking questions of them.
I'm sorry.
You're supposed to be asking questions of them, not directed at me.
Yeah.
At the end of this month, Mr. Delaney is to come to Castle Island AFC to open the new George O'Callaghan Park. 45 years they wanted for this park to be there. And what I'm reliably told, that if it wasn't for John Delaney and the FAI, that park wouldn't be being opened at the end of this month. You will be most welcome to Kerry. You will get what I would call the mother of all welcomes when you come to Kerry, because your reputation and your respectability will precede you down the road before you land, and we will be there to welcome you. Okay. And all I can say is that, okay, when it comes to the accountancy practices, Chairman, and I'm sure you appreciate this, many of us in business who have to do certain things at certain times, during the recession, people bailed out their own small businesses. They did different things that they had to do to try and be of help and assistance. Point. And if you're guilty of anything, guilty of trying to help an association in the best way you saw fit at that time.
But surely John Delaney won't be in Kerry for that pitch opening. It's hardly part of the remit of an executive vice president, is it? I thought he just dealt with international affairs. It's a bit too parochial for him, is it?
That is a good point. He may make an exception, I suspect, for this one. We'll move on from that.
Please.
Like Michael Healy-Ray obviously represents people and therefore should be heard, but he does, and it really bugs me, he receives a disproportionate amount of coverage across the media. And it's something actually the media needs to think about, because it just diminishes.
Yeah, I agree. Like, he went there today because he knew it would get him headlines, and he's tweeting about it. Oh, I see I've annoyed the hurlers in the ditch. He knew that.
Yeah.
It's deliberate. It's so transparent, we shouldn't be giving him any time to be honest. Well, we've given him enough time.
I know we have. Yeah. I saw him with Ivan and Matt Cooper talking about climate change a couple of months ago, and genuinely, the level of misinformation was such that you wonder, really, the media just need to think about how much they're using people like Michael Healy-Ray. I appreciate he probably engages an audience, but
got 20,000 votes, believe it or not.
I do believe it. So look, that was pretty much the sum total of Michael Healy-Ray's contribution today. Now, next to a potentially significant point. So it was never really developed, and this ties in with something you mentioned earlier, Ciarán. So this John Delaney Executive Vice President role was recommended by the Jonathan Hall report. And in that report, as you know, it recommended at the very end, despite being very vague all the way through initially, at the very end, it recommends a timeline whereby the board would meet on the 22nd of March, which was the day before the Gibraltar game, to copper fasten the Delaney move. And then on the day of the game, the 23rd, it was recommended in the Jonathan Hall Associates report that the board make the announcement. So the FAI maintained this was long in the planning. Noel Rock here had a point to make on the matter in relation to this Jonathan Hall report.
Just one final question, Chair, if you'll just indulge me. The PDF that you sent us of the Hall report, when was that received? That would have been the document that was, the very same document that was presented to the board that was accepted?
I think so, Mr. Rock.
No, it's just interesting because the data on the document itself is from the next day. The document, it says, was created at 5:10 the following day on the Saturday during the Ireland-Gibraltar match. This all seems quite peculiar to me and seems to warrant maybe a further line of questioning with regard to the creation of the report.
Which we never got.
No, this is very interesting because there was an FAI board meeting on 22nd of March, and this is when they said that they discussed the implementation of the Hall report or the recommendations of it. And as he says, the PDF is from 24 hours later when it was created. Yeah. So that is definitely something that's to be explored further. Like Noel Rock has been very vocal about all this lately. And I can see, I think he's made a lot of valid points, but also politically it's going to help him because his constituency boundaries have been redrawn. He's going to be in a dogfight for the last seat in that constituency, so it's helping his profile, but he's still making some valid points and asking valid questions. So.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what's going on there, but it had the parallel of a Lance Armstrong back data prescription.
Yeah.
Next to Robert Troy. So at this stage, it's becoming very apparent that John Delaney is not going to say much and that answer after answer was proving very difficult. So Robert Troy just voiced a general frustration with how the day was going.
On your opening address, Mr. Conway, you say, I know we have much work to do to rebuild trust and confidence in the association, and we are committed to achieving this as a board. Can I say, this is your opportunity to start that process. This is your opportunity, even if you have no time for us members that are gathered around here. You can speak to your patrons who are watching in with huge interest in what's going on here. But since this morning, you have been evasive, vague, non-committal, ambiguous in your replies. You have chosen to answer what you wish to answer. And I'll give you an example. We asked in relation to a severance package. You chose to answer that because it suited you to answer that. But when I asked in relation to a pension, you slapped down and you said, I'm not in a position to answer that. It's contractual arrangements. You are hiding behind the Grant Thornton report. You are hiding behind Mazar's report. And can I just ask you, can you be honest and upfront with the general public who have a right to know in terms of how corporate governance is being administered in the FAI? You know, it's a case of deja vu.
Mm. Mm-hmm. And incidentally, we learned today that the Grant Thornton report will just be for FAIs only. We hadn't realised that, but it seems it will just be for the FAI. Robert Troy, by the way, then went on to say this a few moments later.
Seven of your current board members have 103 years service to the board. And I think the perception outside, Mr. Conway, is the board is a cartel. That your closing rank and that you are not being honest and open with the public.
So we've got to take a short break. There are a few more short clips I want to bring you, one including Imelda Munster and John Delaney getting into a bit of a tetchy exchange and some other key finishing points from Fergus O'Dowd and Ruth Coppinger. And Mark Daly asked some interesting questions about the bank accounts. So bear with us, short break, and then final few clips, which will sum up the afternoon session.
Off the ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.
Now, you're very welcome back. So it's Joe Malloy here, Kieran Cunningham of the Irish Daily Star alongside me. We have sat through the 7 hours of the Oireachtas Committee, so you don't have to. That's the tagline of this hour. We're nearly there. In the football show, we'll do some analysis and get some thoughts from Fergus O'Dowd, who's going to come into studio, and obviously Man United Barcelona will be on, and in the next hour we'll surround you with Masters goodness. But we just want to bring you a good sense of what happened today, because we appreciate that not all of you will have been able to see it. If you're just tuning in now, we're going to have a podcast of this full hour. The best thing to do might be to go back and listen to it to get a proper sense, but you're more than welcome to stay on. So this is afternoon session now, deep into the afternoon session, and as you know, if you were listening all the way through, John Delaney said he was precluded from discussing the €100,000 loan for legal reasons, but also that he was precluded from answering any questions to his previous role for legal reasons, his previous role being his 14 years as CEO, which left not much in the way of items he could be questioned about. We played you just before the ad break Robert Troy saying the thing was like a cartel and that generally there was a massive frustration in the room with the FAI not answering any questions about various matters. So that ties in here with Imelda Munster. And there was this exchange with John Delaney, one of the few exchanges John Delaney got into. And I appreciate we're on radio here, but I think if looks could kill, I don't think that the FAI's Executive Vice President, John Delaney, enjoyed this line of questioning. We'll say that much.
Can I just say, just to my observation, Chair, I think, you know, that the former CEO has behaved disgracefully today. I mean, he came in with a last-minute statement. He knows the procedures for this committee. He's furnished us with the statement, but refusing to answer any questions in relation to the statement. And he's also refusing to answer questions that are ongoing in relation to his time as CEO. And I would have imagined, it's an absolute disgrace and it's been farcical what's gone on here. But the only good thing is that the public out there have witnessed it firsthand too. And I would have thought that anybody would have been glad to be handed the opportunity to put the record straight. But you haven't taken up that opportunity, Mr. Delaney.
I know what your
is there a reason why you haven't?
No, I know what your comments, Deputy Minister.
But is there a reason you haven't?
No, I've read my statement, as you know.
Mm. That was a tetchy moment. Yeah. I didn't enjoy that. I've read my statement, as you know.
Yeah, there was a couple of those with him. There was a look he gave the Treasurer, Eddie Murray, when... I can't remember the exact words he used, but he basically said it was unusual, the circumstance around the loan, for something like this to happen, not be aware of it. So there was a glance across. So he had a legal advisor behind him, John Delaney, by the way, so brought him with him there, which is unusual.
Next clip. Earlier on, we mentioned to you that the FAI were asked how many bank accounts they have, and their honorary treasurer seemed to think they had one account. And then after a period of consultation, it turned out they have 24 accounts. And that was made clear after a time. So here is Senator Mark Daly, who, by the way, we didn't have time to play the clip. He did not have a stellar performance in the morning, it would be fair to say.
He wasn't a mad buzz. He seemed to be enjoying himself.
He seemed to think everything was great. He seemed to want to go down the... lines. Well, he asked a reasonable question about the logistics of checks, which was fair enough, but then it wasn't answered and he just let that go. It was a really frustrating moment because it was a question which should have been answered, but he went straight from that question into it, talking about how...
Gender equality, a tangent, were. How women would sort out Brexit, even though there's a woman Prime Minister in Britain, which I think you might have forgotten.
It was the most twee thing I've ever seen. Yeah, if a woman was involved in Brexit, it would all be sorted out. And he talked about the GAA, which, by the way, is a separate entity to the ladies' GAA, Mark. I'm sure you've realised that subsequently. But you did redeem yourself somewhat in the evening session, in fairness.
You asked a very good afternoon. Question later on, yeah.
Yeah. So Mark Daly here with questions. And we don't get much information here, but it will just give you a sense of how painstaking it was and why you've heard other representatives really voice frustration. So this is Mark Daly trying to get to the bottom of this €100,000 loan. Who was the creditor? Who was owed money? You know, just give us some information here. Everybody in the room, you know, people in the room here know the answers to those questions. So it's a good indicator of just the frustration or the wall that the TDs and senators met on a regular basis.
So my concern here is that you had loads of money in other accounts, but it didn't appear to add up to 100,000, or you had other commitments for that money. But could you outline how long was the money owed, the 100,000 owed, how long did you have to pay it, and what was that 100,000 for that you had to pay? Like, was it infrastructure? Was it a bill to some contractor? Was it a club? Was it money due for a competition? Jonathan alluded to that. What was that for?
There were a number of outstanding checks.
No, there's one check.
And
according to your, that you got an email the day after you were looking for the money.
Oh, there was a one. Yeah, sorry, go on.
Send there it. Was one check, and you knew it was coming. My question again is, how long did you know it was coming for? How long did you have to pay it? How long, like, were you legally obliged to pay it? Like, how is it that the money, the check was made available by the former CEO? It was put there, ready to be used if it came down. Did it have to be paid by that Friday? Did it have to be paid the following week? Had you a month to pay it? Like, what were the terms of credit? If Alex maybe have an answer to that in terms of what was the terms of credit for that 100,000 that was due? To Alex, do you know?
I don't have that answer now.
Okay.
Alex wasn't in the organisation at the time.
Oh, no, but like, we're coming to a committee meeting here. We're asking about 100,000 that we knew was due. There was no other money available in the other accounts, and yet you can tell us today what it was for. Was it for infrastructure? What was that money for? That one single bill.
The cheque was lodged. The cheque was written to try to prevent a breach of overdraft.
No, I'm not saying it what wasn't was it for. Tracking. I'm saying what the bill. who was the bill due to? Like, what was it? Was it a club? Was it infrastructure? Was it wage?
I can't go into that, Senator.
No, no, you can. Excuse me. I'm not asking you who it was due to. I'm asking you what it was for.
Okay, well, look, you've made your question.
No, no, I'm just asking.
No, no, you've made your question.
No, but I'm asking what was it for?
The bridging loan was to attempt to prevent a breach of overdraft.
No, no, I'm not asking what the bridging loan was for. I'm saying the 100,000 bill that you had to pay that you knew was coming, what specifically in terms of, I'm talking about, was it infrastructure, was it a club that was due money, and what was the terms of payment? Did it have to be paid by that Friday or the following month? Had you 28 days? Terms of credit.
It was Tuesday the issue arose. Friday it was paid, isn't that it?
Yeah, but it does. What it doesn't make clear is, when did they have to have it paid?
Well, the financial controller lodged the cheques, so he must have had concern that a payment to demand had to be met.
Yeah, but what they're not able to tell us today is what exactly that 100,000, the terms and conditions for the person who was owed the money, did they have to be paid by that Friday, or did the FAI have 28 days to pay it? Like, what was the terms of credit in relation to that specific bill? Anybody know?
I can't answer the issue of that creditor and what the terms
of credit
were.
But, that's what we're here for. The questions are about them.
That's Fianna Fáil Senator Mark Daly. Trying to press them, in fairness, trying to go at them, and that is an edited clip. Yeah. That was a long 6-7 minutes of just torturous back and forth, and it was just a simple question. I'm not asking you for specifics, just give us a basic, what was it for?
It is the key question. Like, this is what a lot of the questioning of Jonathan O'Brien, who used to be involved with Cork City, was about as well. Because a lot of people within the League of Ireland know this, that there's often been delays in pay and prize money or money from UEFA being passed on. So that leads to legitimate questions. Is that what was the case? Was this money owed to a club? Was that why this issue arose? But a straight answer wasn't given.
No.
And why wasn't a straight answer given? And also, very important, I don't know if you have a clip in this, Padraig O'Kagey. Have you put any clips of him?
He didn't make the cut.
No, but there's one very good line of him as worried, because they make great play of this about Sport Ireland funding isn't that big a deal to them because of a 50 million turnover and this is only 2.7 million, whatever. But he said, if you're down to 100 grand with a 50 million turnover, I tell you, I'd be worried.
Yeah.
Which is a very valid point.
Yeah. Now, O'Kagey got a few good points about the general governance, but we just didn't have time to fit everything in.
Yeah.
So look, last two. At this stage, it's getting close to 6 o'clock. It feels like everybody in the room is on holiday in a caravan and it's day 13 of their 2 weeks and everybody has cabin fever. So things begin to wrap up. Chair of the committee, Fergus O'Dowd, he gave some final thoughts to the FAI and it just led to this more human exchange, I think, with the FAI president, Donald Conway. This is our second last clip.
The picture in my mind is of all those young people, of them going out to play this evening and Saturday and, you know, their parents with them, driving them, buying them football boots and going through the tough life of a parent looking after young children. And I just need to say that to you. And that's the message I have to give you from the people that talk to me. And I appreciate you listening to me.
Can I make a remark?
Oh yeah, I want you to make a remark at the end. If you want to make it now, I don't know, you can respond to my, you can of course, Excuse me, sorry.
You know, none of us have a divine right to be on the board. None of us ever thought we had a divine right to be on the board. Mm-hmm. We only came to the board through our clubs, our affiliates, our respective committees, and every 2 years, if not every year, they had to endorse us.
Absolutely.
So it wasn't a case that you find yourself at a board table and thereafter you are forever on the board table.
I accept that.
That's not the case. We're volunteers. No, that can be misinterpreted when I say that, but we're volunteers invested in the game that we love and we support and we want to prosper. We're in the game 30, 40, 50 years. Now, that doesn't give you a right. I want to just make that clear. That gives you no right to sit on a board endlessly or whatever. But the children you talk about are the children we're in this game for. And from the children, right through, whether it's the amateur women's game, men's game, the boys' game, the girls' game, That was the commitment we've made, and that's the commitment that still keeps us here.
But your actions have resulted in the funding for those very people being withdrawn. That's the point I'm making.
Yeah, it was a good response from the chair of the committee, Fergus O'Dowd. He'll join us after 9 o'clock for a few minutes to reflect on the day. Final clip then, because the clock is against us. They went round the room after that for a general summary from different people. And I think Ruth Coppinger summed up the mood of the room best.
Today's proceedings are going to reaffirm people's cynicism about the political process and about the FAI. It doesn't give me any pleasure to say that. I have family members who have been connected with the FAI. But you've come along here today, armed with lawyers and legal advice.
The association did not bring legal advice.
I was just about... Well, you obviously got legal advice before you came here.
We did.
And you've given the most minimal answers that fit in with that.
Well,
but we've also...
And they're entitled to do that.
Yeah, they're entitled to do it. And I was just about to say that...
Yes, because we got legal advice as well.
That it would appear Mr. Delaney, like he's here physically, so he's covered himself in that way, but it's Hamlet without the prince because he hasn't answered any of the questions that people outside of this room would have wanted to be answered. And I hope journalists and I hope the general public take note of how toothless the Parliament has become because of legal threats. Now, the board was fooled or misled by a number of people on the board who never told them about these transactions and about the shortfall. And Sporting Ireland also had information hidden from us by the FAI because they did ask, they told us in 2017, and they were told all was well at that time. And it seems that, the final thing I'd say, the board has moved Mr. Delaney aside because of his connection to UEFA. They're willing to keep him. And they've created a role solely for one person. Nobody else need apply. And it's a position that's still, you know, quite well paid. As I said, it's similar to the prize money for the entire Irish League.
O'Brien, I have to take Deputy O'Brien.
So I just think that this has been very frustrating for a lot of people. And
okay, Deputy O'Brien.
Changes need to be made.
Yeah, Ruth Coppinger there. That's the last of the clips for now.
Off the ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.